Seems like any time you turn on the television or pick up a newspaper, you read about some story of brutality, some human against another human, and what people are capable of doing to each other. It's just horrible. And beyond physical attacks and physical abuse of a horrible nature, human beings can do just as terrible things with the tongue. Hurting, wounding, destroying with language, with the weapons of words. And either way, of course, such treatment is contrary and against the ways of God, and certainly not the ways of one who would call upon the name of Christ. And yet, that kind of treatment is precisely what the Christians from the very beginning faced when they began their walk with the Lord, who himself showed them how you have to deal with and expect such treatment. We have, of course, the beheading of James in Acts chapter 12. And we read about the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. And the Lord himself, of course, before he was crucified, would instruct his disciples in the way that they needed to think, the mindset, the attitude that they needed to have toward people like that who would set themselves against his people, his disciples. So in Luke chapter 6, Jesus, beginning at verse 27, he says, "But I say to you who hear, those of you who will listen and who will heed my words," what does he say? "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you." So as he begins, people clearly begin to see what he's saying. You don't do what you want to do. What your tendency as a human being is, which is to do what? Retaliate. Give back what you got. Make it even worse on them than they did it on you. But he says then, notice, going along the same lines, he explains some specific examples. Verse 29, "To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back." He shows them, you need to think as one of my disciples on a completely different level than what you've done or heard before. This is the way Christ is calling his people to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, unlike things that people have seen before, because this is not the way human beings act in and of themselves of their own accord. You have to have intervention from God, a message from heaven to teach you this is the way you walk, you live, if you want to be Christ-like, if you want to go to heaven and be truly children of your Father. That's how you have to live, he says. And then he says in verse 31, "And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." So here's the mindset. How do you want people to treat you? How do you want people to talk to you? That's what you do to other people, he says. You think about that. You dwell on that for a while. What you want to receive. And then he says, you turn around and that's what you give to the people you work with, you go to school with, maybe family members in your extended family that might be difficult to deal with. You do as you want done, he says. And then he tells them, "But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. So he contrasts what he's teaching them with the ways that are commonly seen in the world. He says, you've got to rise above what other people do. Yeah, people are nice and people are friendly in life, but typically it's to the people that they like or that are nice to them. Or maybe I'll get something in return if I'm really nice to this person. And it might be something monetary. It might be some advantage that you might gain. It might be a favor, whatever it might be. It's not because you're just doing good for the sake of doing good, but it's to get something. He says, none of that. But, verse 35, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. And really, that is the summary of why we need to be this kind of people, because we need to be like the one who is our Father, the one who sent His Son to die for us, to be living in the true image of God is to live like Jesus teaches, not only in this particular example of love your enemies, but in all the ways of Christ that He shows us, this is the higher way than the world shows you or teaches you how to live. This is not what you've learned before. This is My way. And in this case, it's the difficult task of dealing with people who set themselves against us, who treat us like we don't want to be treated, those who are enemies. He says, as a Christian, your way is completely different. So, the reality of this issue is what we have to deal with in school, maybe on the sports field, with people who are difficult in the workplace, many different situations. Jesus concludes, therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. These words certainly are in complete harmony with what Paul called us to in chapter 12 of Romans. Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is Mine, I will repay, says the Lord. In other words, even though you have an enemy, even though he's treating you this way, and you're to do good, and you're to show all this love, it doesn't mean that they're getting away with all the evil that they do. It just means you're handling it in a Christ-like manner, in a divine fashion. And you can't handle it taking vengeance, as Paul explains, but instead you let God handle it, and He will. When he says give place to wrath, he explains in the very next chapter that God appoints authorities, and they are the ones to whom you appeal if you get wronged in this world. There are laws to take care of that, and God appoints those laws so that you can handle things in a proper fashion. But then he says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So every day, every week, every month, as we go forward in our lives, the reality of difficult people will never go away. And yet, the teaching from the Lord shows us the way to handle such situations by taking the path that the Lord Himself blazed for us. He was this kind of person. He loved His enemies. He died for His enemies. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, as He hung there on the cross. He knows what it's like to be hated, to suffer wrongfully. And yet He shows us how to properly live as children of God. So when you face this kind of challenge, this kind of trial, you know the path to take. May God help each of us to take that path, and in so doing, bring glory and honor to God, and show people we are not like the world at all, but that we are going to love our enemies, and we are going to put vengeance in the hands of God. In part, He can take care of that through authorities. In part, we know in the last day it'll all be settled. But in the meantime, we by our lives can make a difference on people around us. And in fact, sometimes you can soften the heart of an enemy when you don't respond in the way that they expect and you take the high road. But whatever the case, we know God shows us the way of salvation. If you're not yet a child of God tonight, think about the fact that God wants you to be saved and begin this lifelong journey and way of living that is going to set you apart from the world and those who live in it and those who are headed for a different future. You're headed for heaven when you become a child of God. And faith in Jesus Christ is where it begins. He is God's Son. There's evidence testified in the Scriptures, which are, without a doubt, the inspired Word of God. And that testimony shows us this is the one in whom we can have faith, and it means something, and it will lead us to life eternal. But faith is not where it stops. Faith alone does not save. We must turn away from sin and repentance, acknowledge our faith, in Jesus Christ by confessing that and being immersed in water. Baptism brings us into the family of God. It's where our sins are washed away by Jesus' blood, and without baptism there is no salvation. But the command obeyed from the heart is effective, and we are added by God to the church, and we are part of the heirs that look forward to a heavenly home that will not be taken away from us. And you may suffer in this life, you may have affliction, you may have sorrows, but it's all going to end, the Lord says, in that place He's promised. If you are a child of God but struggling, maybe sin has surfaced in your life, you're struggling with it, we can pray for you. You can acknowledge any sin that may be public in nature. We can make that right tonight with God. We can help you in any way. If you have a need, won't you come as we stand and sing?